God is moving on the streets.
If we can touch that one gang member with that one word, we can reach entire gangs. We can reach entire cities.
We, the people of God, are going to bring the light into the darkness.
They're like sheep without a shepherd.
They don't know him yet.
A lot of times they feel trapped.
Anyone that's growing in light is going to have an increasing heart for those who are in darkness.
Go in his power and in his love and demonstrate who he is.
I say a few people made a believer out of me.
We send them out two by two.
To a wounded and dying world. Not to condemn, but to love.
Know his love, man. He really loves you.
The dead raised, the sick healed. Devils cast out in great measure, the poor looked after, and it should be normal Christianity.
God's heart burns for the lost, and he wants us to take the prophetic to the streets.
Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is Patricia King. I'm glad you've joined us for today's program. It's entitled, Prophets of Morality Arise. Do you know if you are a prophet of morality or not? Well, guess what? If you know him, you are, and you're called to bring light into the darkness.
What is your opinion on same-sex marriages?
Because it's more accepted in the culture these days. It's not really frowned upon as much as it was like a few years ago or decades ago.
I don't agree with it. I just think when they do that, I think they're just a little bit confused and they're lost. I don't agree with it. But I'm not going to go and bash someone.
I honestly believe that if people want to be in love with another person that's the same sex, I'm proud of that. I think it's the American way to have their own way of life.
I definitely don't agree with same-sex marriages. I think it's just unbiblical. I think that the Lord, you know, God made man and woman to be together, and that's pretty much it.
I'm not going to say it's good or bad, but people should be allowed to do whatever they want to do. That's their own preference, and go for it.
It's all bad.
Why?
Because the Lord said, he put it in the Bible for you not to have marriage or even be with another, your same, you know, gender. You ain't supposed to do that. That's against the commandments. It's bad.
Where are the children going to come from? You can't make any kids. Two ones and two zeros don't make kids, you know what I mean?
People think that if, you know, they love each other, that it's okay, but they don't have any concrete, you know, morals.
If it makes them happy, they can do whatever they want.
People who are entering in same-sex marriages feel like Christians are against them, and that's what I would like to see broken down. You know, God loves them just as much as anyone else. Part of God's blessing on our country deals with our willingness to obey his laws and his standards.
Welcome to Insights. I have Charlie Robinson with me. Charlie, it's good to have you with us. And I've got fire in my bones on this subject, I tell you, because I think that we are in a very critical hour. I feel that we're in a dangerous hour.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie, I don't know about you, but, you know, the place that I grew up in Canada, which was a number of years ago, 50 years ago or so, there was a sense of safety because there was strong morality. You know, we didn't have to lock our doors, for instance, and we didn't have to, you know, worry about when we made business deals. You know, I know that my dad, when he made business deals, oftentimes it wasn't even in writing. You didn't need a legal contract because people were honest back then. And sexual morals, I mean, we were taught sexual morality as young people. There was just an expectation for that. But you know, there's a lot of confusion about that in this day and age, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion. When a society leaves God and the principles of the Bible, they're left to choose what's left. And what's left is an immorality and a declining immorality. And that's what I see in North America, that we've literally left the principles of God in the schools as well. And it's not only prayer in the school system and a declining of prayer, Bible reading, it's a decline of morality that's hit every level of society because we've left God. And because of that, it's infiltrated into the church. Mm-hmm. And the church has adopted a weak stand. In fact, it's permeated into the church, and it's caused the church to sit back and to draw back and not address issues like this, even in the public.
And I think it's time for us to come out of just, church in Western culture so often is equal to, in our minds, an attendance of a service.
Yeah.
Let's attend a service, and we call that church. But the thing is, where is the moral voice of God
right.
inside the nation? At the foundation of Canada and the USA, for instance, and other Western nations, there was a foundation of faith in God and
yeah.
in His Word.
Yes.
In the scriptures.
Yeah.
And so we based our laws, we based the constitution of our nations upon the law of God. And because of that, we've walked in an element of peace, of safety, of goodness, of prosperity.
Blessing.
The blessing of the Lord. It says right in Deuteronomy 28 that if we will obey the commandments of the Lord, that all these blessings will come upon us and overtake us. It says, we'll prosper in everything. And in one of the verses, I think it's in verse 7, it says, the Lord will cause even your enemies that rise up against you to be defeated.
Yes.
And they'll come against you one way, they'll flee from you seven ways, because there's homeland security that comes from God on high when mm-hmm. we obey the Lord.
Yes. Yeah. And what happens is that there's a protection. And, we felt that protection growing up, as you said. And what happens later on in Deuteronomy, it talks about the curses of not walking in that protection. What happens, the protection drops. When we refuse to walk in the commands of God, in the Word of God, and we leave the principles, that protection leaves. And the Bible says there in Deuteronomy later on, it says that our enemies will come and will flee seven ways. And I believe that's what's happened to a measure, that when we enjoy the blessings of God, it's because we're walking in a level of integrity and morality and the issues of life. When we leave that, our protection is gone. And we can't expect to have that protection when we leave it.
There's false prophetic voices and there's true prophetic voices. The true prophetic voices will always speak on behalf of God in His heart. But the false prophetic voices we have in the world, they're through the media, that say promiscuity is all right. Fornication is all right. Adultery is all right. Homosexuality is all right. And these are things that we know according to the scriptures. I mean, those values are contrary to the scriptures.
They're wrong.
But Jesus said Himself, false prophets will arise in the last days.
Yeah.
They will arise. And they'll have a false message. So over media today, for instance, we have, this message that's being portrayed and acted out in front of the masses, acted out, all kinds of terrible scenes of immorality, of lying, of cheating, of dishonesty, of violence. All these things that God hates is being acted out right in front of our eyes.
Yes.
Charlie, I was on an airplane not too long ago, and there was a young man sitting in front of me. Now, this is fairly graphic, so, maybe some parents that are watching this program might want to, just move their children away from the screen right now. But this young guy was sitting right beside me, and he's watching a DVD. And I happened to glance over, and this is disgusting. He's just watching a normal movie. It wasn't a porno movie or anything like that. He's watching a normal movie. And in this movie, I see the scene. This guy's in his pajamas. He's on the bed, and he's holding a phone up in his hand, and he's talking to someone on the phone. This is the movie. All of a sudden, a dog jumps up on the bed and starts licking the crotch of this man, and he pushes the dog away, but the image of that is in the mind. Do you know God spoke to me? And He said, right now, media is portraying fornication, adultery, homosexuality, portraying all that as all right. He said, the next thing that you're going to see is bestiality and sex with children. And the media is going to make it seem like it's okay, and it's going to season the minds of the people to make them think that it's all right.
You see, and when these things happen in the media, as it's happened over the years, and progressively, I mean, the fruit of these things is going to get worse. We do not realize that what it's doing to children, and I worked in the school district for 12 years in the public school district, it has caused a confusion literally to come into young people where they don't know who they are. Not just, it used to be, who am I? Now it's who am I sexually? It's messed up the minds of people, and it's caused a disturbance. And the Lord led me to be very bold, even in schools, to talk to people about their lives and who they were. And it's amazing. Young people are not stupid, but many times they are confused because of these images. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a Christian, I was able to talk to many, many, many young people about the reality of how God made them, who God made them, and what it was, you know, to live a life as God made you. And, you know, they were attracted to that reality. Yeah. And, in fact, it's amazing how many lives I saw come into order just by speaking to them truth about these things, because they were confused by all these images.
See,
that are blasted at them.
You were being a voice piece for God. That's what a prophet of morality is a voice piece for God. And we have to take the message of truth that we enjoy inside the four walls of a church building.
Exactly.
It has to go out into the marketplace,
yes,
the
exactly.
schools. And, you know, recently, of course, we know that there's been, you know, an uprising concerning homosexuality. And there's been a big push for all of society to accept that homosexuality is all right, when the Bible says it yep. is not. The fruit of this is going to bring destruction to society. But we're told to be silent. We're told to be quiet. They say, if you speak your heart on this matter, even if you preach the word on this matter, you could be put in jail for it. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a time when we just have to say, yeah. well, maybe we'll have to start a prison ministry.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll have to do our preaching inside of a prison. But whatever, there has to be yeah. a voice piece for God in this hour, not out of anger, but in love.
Yeah.
Not out of an anger of man, but out of love yes. that's in our heart for mankind.
And if we do have that love, you see, if we do have the love of Jesus, it's not a condemning love. You know, nobody likes to be told what they're doing is wrong. But that's not the point. If something is wrong, it's still wrong. Whether we feel, hurt by somebody telling us it's not wrong, we need to be told. So truth is always truth. Truth never changes. And it's the same with morality. It's a gauge. It's on one level. There's a standard, God's standard. And when people walk in these things, we need to say, listen, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And this is, you see, and not just wait for the preacher in the pulpit to say, this is not right. We need to do this in the marketplace. The Bible says wisdom cries out in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And I believe that God can give us as Christians a voice to deal with these issues with the love of Jesus, but being very firm and very honest and saying these things are not right in the marketplace, in the political arena, and in every yeah. Level of society, if we will just stand up and take a stand and ask God to give us wisdom in the love of Jesus.
And you know, the scripture says that judgment begins first in the household
of
faith.
Yeah.
And you know, there's so much sin in the house
yeah.
that is not being addressed. In Ezekiel chapter 8, God takes the prophet in a vision in through a hole into the inner parts of the temple, and he sees abominations being done by the priests, idolatry and all kinds of immorality and stuff like that. And so the prophet was appalled by what he saw, and the Lord says there's worse than this. There's worse than this. And I believe that prophetically the Lord would say to us today also is that there is abominable
yeah.
behavior taking place in
the church.
Behind the scenes. I know that there's fornication, adultery, abortion, homosexuality, bestiality, pornography, all that taking place inside the church undercover.
Yeah.
You know, it's just in the darkness. This has to be exposed. It has to be
yes.
dealt with. Because one of the reasons why we don't have a strong moral voice in society is because we're not walking
yes,
in
right.
that word inside.
Yeah.
of the truth. And you know, if you're a Christian right now and you're in sin, I just make an appeal to your heart, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of times people will say, well, I need healing or whatever, but you know, stop the sin and then get healed, because the reason why a person needs healing is because of sin issues, either someone's sin toward them or their own sin issues
mm-hmm.
that they've walked in.
Yeah.
But, you know, it has to be addressed.
And there has to be decision making. And we've sort of left the decision to other people. And because we haven't decided as a church, as leadership, to make a decision, that it goes on behind the closed doors, and leaders are involved in everything that we've talked about. And I believe that is what is weakening in many
yeah.
ways the society outside of the church.
Yeah.
And so this is what needs to be cleaned up first. The Bible says if we judge ourselves,
yeah. Yeah.
we won't be judged with the world.
You know, Charlie, I really believe that if we do not call nations into alignment to the word of God, that we will see the judgments
yeah.
of God in our land.
Yeah.
You know, in God Talk today, we're going to interview, well, we already have interviewed him, actually. I'm going to show the clips of this, of an ex-homosexual who tells his story. And you know, right now this whole issue of homosexuality is a big deal because there's the worldly prophets that are out there, the false prophets, saying that this is all right. But are there going to be true prophets that say, no, this is not a healthy way to live? And if we, the church, are going to proclaim the truth concerning this issue, are we ready to deal in love with the pain in the lives, the loneliness, the hurts that are behind it? Mm-hmm. Because this is part of being prophets of morality, not only to expose the sin, but to bring healing to the consequence of sin. And so we want to invite you to stay tuned for God Talk as we interview an ex-homosexual.
Reach those in the streets, the marketplace, and the world around you with the life-giving gospel. The School of Extreme Prophetic offers powerful equipping and impartation so that you're fully furnished to reach the world around you. The school includes prophetic evangelism training as well as an outreach to the streets. It's a lot of fun and it's life-changing. Meet new friends and with them bring light into the darkness. Go online at extremeprophetic.com for more information.
A little while ago, there was a young man who was in a homosexual lifestyle who approached me and he said, "Why do you Christians hate us?" And he had assumed that Christians hate the gay community. And I said to him, "You know, we don't hate you. We love you. I love you. But we have very strong convictions about the homosexual act, homosexual activity, because in the Bible, which we believe is the Word of God, a God who loves us, a God who created us, and a God who knows the very best way for us to live, says that homosexuality or homosexual behavior is a very dangerous or a very, very unhealthy way to live. And because of that, we care about you. And we care about the society that we live in, that they're not influenced by that kind of mindset." And I said, "It is proven that homosexual behavior, homosexual act, can be damaging. It can have adverse effects on life, on relationships, and on society all throughout history." And I said, "I love you so much. And it doesn't matter to me if you're a homosexual, a fornicator, an adulterer, a cheat, a liar. I love you. You could be a murderer and I would love you because God loves you. He sees value in you." And he was really touched by that because he'd assumed that we just hated him because of the choice he had made concerning his sexuality. But anyways, I want to take you to a testimony of a friend of mine whose name is Caleb. He's been out of homosexual lifestyle for a while. And he's going to share some things with us. But Caleb was introduced to homosexuality actually in the church.
I was in a church where it was not preached against, but it was, you know, even there were ministers that were there in the church that had even approached me.
He shares a story about when he was young, very young, he didn't have a strong bonding with his father.
You know, my father was an alcoholic, and when I would reach out to be there, you know, he wasn't there. You know, and I connected with the feminine part in my family, which was my mom and my sisters, and all of them were there for me. So I identified with femininity. I was a very feminine boy. So there's where the guys in the neighborhood called me sissy. They called me faggot, and, you know, and they poked at me. There was peer wounds, and the girls did it, you know, and so I grew up with those hurts within inside of me.
A father's role in a family is very, very important. And I think that one of the breakdowns in a healthy sexual relationship, not only homosexuality, is where a real loving father, an affirming father, a strong father who operates in the love of God is not present. And such was the case with Caleb. There wasn't an identification with father, and so he identified with his mother.
One of the things that God did, he put me in the midst of men, construction guys that I worked with. And these guys showed so much love to me. And it was whenever I would go home at night, There was a couple of times that I cried because I wanted to just stay with these guys all day, and it was just good, healthy male relationship.
And he said to us, "If you want to minister to the homosexual community, the church has to learn how to love because you're in a love war."
You know, you can walk up into a line and the church give you deliverance and you heal and you believe you're healed and you're walking in that deliverance. But who's going to be there to tell you when you leave there, when these desires, natural desires of a little boy that wants to
associate
with his dad? Or associate with men and feel approved and feel, you know, oh man, the muscles are big. You're going. That's what you want to hear. But because in the past, when those same emotions began to come up, the way I identified with them was through sex. So that was causing confusion in my head. So like these emotions, now I had an answer to the truth. And when I found out the truth, it was like, wow. You know, so I began to set up network of men that I could actually even go a little deeper than just the guys at work. They started, and with my pastor, they started, but setting up a network of men that could help me heal, that wasn't afraid to hold me when I needed to be held, wasn't afraid to listen to me without being grossed out, you know, just giving me an ear, giving me attention, wasn't afraid to just be my friend, wasn't afraid but just to love me. As brothers, you know?
What are the areas of lack that you see in the body of Christ that has brought confusion to, let's say, a gay, you know, person living in a gay lifestyle who wants to come free?
It's our fears. I believe, my personal, is that the church's fears of being able to, well, because we're going to need men. We need the heterosexual man who is confident enough in his sexuality that he can help this brother. Because it's that one thing that the church is looking at, and they're looking at sex. Sex is the bud of the flower. It's not the problem. So if we can eliminate the sex out of our head and can reach in there and take the person with their hurts and begin to help them heal their needs for men in their life, or even if it's a woman, the same thing, for a woman in her life, then healing will come. And the sexual part will begin to dissolve away. You know you got to stop that. But, you know, it seems like the church emphasizes on that part, which is the sin part. But let's look at the wound. Let's look at the hurt of the person. Let's get in there. Let's be the hands of Christ. Let's be the body of Christ and, you know, heal the wound, the root cause of the problem. Bring you into my world. I'm going to come into your world a little bit. I'm going to find out what you're doing, how are you feeling, what's going on. I'm going to identify with you. And that, I mean, when, because the need of the homosexual is a little boy crying out for daddy's love, crying out for daddy's acceptance. So when that men are so exciting to him, and when that happens, he begins to heal.
And the reason why many who are practicing homosexuals remain inside the homosexual community is because they feel loved there, they feel affirmed there, and they don't feel that loved within the church. And if you're going to win them, you're going to have to win them by love. You'll have to outlove others who are loving them in different ways. You'll have to love them even when they're still in the homosexual lifestyle. You'll have to love them and show them the real love of God so that they can come free. And that was a real strong conviction to my heart, because I thought, have we, the church, done any measure of love? Have we reached out in any measure of love to the homosexual community? Have we been so strong in our moral decrees and in our fears and in our retaliation, so strong in those ways, but haven't reached out to bring love, to bring healing, to bring restoration, to be friends of those that are in homosexual lifestyle? Have we befriended them right where they're at? Yet we know that we stand free of those kind of thinking processes, but even at the same time standing with them as friends, just like Jesus, who is a friend to the sinner.
Do you desire anointed teaching, prayer, impartation, and prophetic words that speak personally to your heart? Would you like an online shopping mall that can resource your life with life-impacting teachings? All of this and more can be found on extremeprophetic.com. Visit us today online. Everything on the site is available to you on demand to facilitate your own lifestyle and schedule.
everyone that is watching this program right now, and you've been saying, yeah, 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 you know, say it, come on, preach it, because you have such strong convictions in your heart concerning, you know, sin and righteousness and that. And that is a good thing. But the Lord's showing me that there is an anger element within your heart, a judgment element within your heart that goes right back to childhood, because you were actually molested as a child and you felt that you didn't have any power over what happened to you, and you didn't at that time. And so as a result, there's this anger about the injustice of it that comes out in a judgmental way and a condemning way. And the Lord's showing me that you're actually a very strong prophetic gift, but you've never been released to give it because of the judgment that all your words come out in. And the Lord wants you to lay down the judgment, to lay down the anger, because He wants to bring you forth in your prophetic gifting. But He can't do it as long as there's the anger of man in you. He needs you to be compassionate. He needs you to be grounded in love. And so He's saying, will you come before Him right now and lay down that anger? And He's going to heal you of what happened to you as a child. You don't have to be afraid anymore. But He wants you to bring edifying words, encouraging words. They'll be strong, but they'll be encouragement, because they won't come out of a heart of judgment.
There's a man watching right now. You're in the ministry. I can see you wearing a blue suit. You're in an adulterous relationship right now. You feel trapped in that you can't get out, and you think that if you tell somebody, it's going to absolutely destroy your whole life. Listen, God is giving you an opportunity of grace right now that you need to take right now. In fact, you need to take that opportunity today, and that is to go to a close friend and tell them what's going on. And if you don't, I really believe there's a spiral staircase heading downward, and you are going to be unable to detach yourself from what's going on. And so if this is you right now, you need to get on your knees and repent and tell somebody, and God will deliver you. He'll love you. He'll lift you up. He'll extend his hand to you.
You know, this is very grievous for me, this particular word, but last night, or actually it was the night before last, I had a dream, and it involved a very perverse homosexual act. It involved three young men. And one of you men that was in that dream is watching this program right now. And the Lord told me to tell you this word, that you've been trapped inside of something that's a very perverse act, and it's made you just feel so grieved. You didn't want to do it. You've been feeling so grieved about it, but the Lord says there's cleansing for you. And there's cleansing for every part of your body that was involved and every part of your soul. And He wants you to take that cleansing right now. And He says, you are forgiven.
There's a story, it's actually a testimony of these two guys that had this guy working with him. He was homosexual. But these two guys loved on him and just spent time with him, took him to play ball, didn't know anything about his lifestyle. The guy was living with a lover. Slowly but surely, because he was getting healthy male love, he began to disassociate with his lover. He says, okay, now we gotta sleep in separate beds. You know, his lover didn't know what's going on. Then later on down the line, he's still getting this healthy love and time with men. He said, we got to break up. All because of men spending time with him. And that's what I think the church, we need to educate our men and women. Women are not as fearful as the men.